Well, it's wonderful that you've braved the elements, and I'm convinced that since we are here, God is here to meet with us. Please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. As you know, we've been working during this six-week series through Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 18. And for convenience, because the King James Version allows us to see the grammatical structure of the passage, we've looked at that each evening. As I've mentioned to you, and I have no desire to be what we would call pedantic in the academic world, but I mentioned to you that we have four succeeding participial clauses. So Paul warns us not to be drunk with wine, commands us to be filled or to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And then in those succeeding participial clauses, he gives us some indications of what the Spirit-filled life looks like. So once again, let's look at Ephesians 5, 18 through 21 from the King James Version. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. We can read it. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of the clauses. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord is the second one. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the third one. And now the fourth one. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, friends, remember that each of these clauses tells us a great deal about what the Spirit-filled life is all about. Now, tonight, of course, we want to talk about submission, and the title is Transforming My Relationships. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, would you breathe upon us tonight? Make this more than a little Bible study, a little lecture, or a little sermon. Give us a mouth to speak and give us ears to hear. And above all, we pray that we may see your glory. We ask that you will come down in a fresh new way and touch us not only with intellectual comprehension of your word, but touch us with the reality and the glory of your presence. Fill us anew with your Spirit, and grant that we may be living models of the Spirit-filled life. And grant, Lord, that our relationships may be truly transformed afresh through the ministry of your word and your Spirit this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My Sunday school class regularly provides me with little theological gems that I enjoy sharing. A DEA officer stops at a ranch in South Dakota and talks with an old rancher. He tells the rancher, I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs. The rancher says, okay, but do not go into that field over there, as he points out the location. The DEA officer verbally explodes, saying, Mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me. Reaching into his rear pants pocket, he removes his badge and proudly displays it to the rancher. See this badge? This badge means I am allowed to go wherever I wish on any land. No questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear, mister? Do you understand? The rancher nods politely, apologizes, and goes about his chores. A short time later, the old rancher hears loud screams and sees the DEA officer running for his life, chased by the rancher's big Santa Gertrudis bull. Incidentally, those bulls can weigh well over 2,000 pounds. With every step, the bull is gaining ground on the officer, and it seems likely that he'll get gored before he reaches safety. The officer is clearly terrified. The rancher throws down his tools, runs to the fence, and yells at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" Submission? You've got to be kidding. That's the way we usually feel if somebody talks to us about submission, isn't it? I'm a proud Southern redneck, you know, and I ain't going to kowtow to nobody. Now, you may translate that into the language of your region, but that tends to be the human condition. Nobody wants to be a doormat. But wait, friends. What Paul is talking about is something just a little bit different. It's not your boss's brand of submission. This passage, which we have shared this evening, pulls together, as Paul writes, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It pulls together two vital ideas. The idea of fear and fullness. Now, notice that the NIV translated submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But in actuality, the original language and the King James Version reads submit out of the fear of God or the fear of Christ. The word is phobos, from which we get phobia, and it is a very common New Testament term, matched by the verb phobeo, both of which occur very commonly in the New Testament. So what Paul is reminding us about is that the God whom we serve, the God who fills us with His Spirit, is not some celestial butler to be blown off whenever we decide we don't like his counsel. What we are looking at here is a vital experience with the sovereign creator of the universe, the one who moves the stars with his finger, blows the storms with his breath, flicks the thunder and lightning at his pleasure. So we do not simply have some benign, sanguine, mysterious business in the universe that doesn't care what we do. It is the living God Himself, expressed in Jesus Christ, made real by the presence of the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives. And Paul reminds us that we are to fear Him. We all know, as we look at the biblical record, the power of our God. He can send down consuming fire. He can open up the seas. He can send the mighty storms. Our God cares nothing for human power that can be arrayed against Him. He is the mighty sovereign that creates us and calls upon us to listen and to obey. Now, Jesus picks up these words in various ways. You remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." So the fear of God, all through Scripture, is a vital experience that men and women of God have that turns them toward God in a very special way. Now, obviously, the fear of God is not intended to make craven cowards of us. The fear of God is not intended to send godly men and women groveling on their knees, afraid that they're about to be consumed by some invasive power of the sovereign creator. rather reverence and respect for the believer who properly recognizes the nature and power of God are appropriate terms. So we do indeed, as we fear God in His power, in His being, in His potential for judgment, as we fear Him as believers, it is reverential awe. So we stand in awe of God. That really means that when we hear the Word of God, as God by His Spirit has moved to deliver these words to us, we don't simply blow them away without thinking seriously about what they mean. Rather, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, and remember, to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with God the Father. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to be filled with God the Son. To be filled with the Spirit of God is to have the experiential presence of the living God by the Holy Spirit living within us. So the God of heaven and earth, the one who has all power, is in us as we are Spirit filled. Now, there are so many ways the New Testament brings that truth home to us. Remember, Paul reminds us often that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're reminded often that we are the house of God, that God dwells within us. So you see, friends, as frail as these mortal bodies of ours may be, we have the wonderful privilege being filled with the Spirit of God to be a dwelling place that is uniquely inhabited by God. And as God lives within us, there are certain things He wants to do with us. He transforms us with a new heart, but He also transforms us with new attitudes and new understandings. And among those wonderful things that the Spirit of God does as He comes into our lives is to give us a new appreciation that enables us to affirm the worth of other people. Each of us tends to have more than a little arrogance, more than a little pride, more than a little stubbornness, more than a little determination to have his or her own way. But as the Spirit comes in, He attacks that pride and that arrogance. He helps us to understand who we really are, to think of ourselves soberly, as the Apostle warns, and then He helps us to better see the value and the worth of those who live around us. It's somewhat hard for us to get into another person's skin, and as a matter of fact, that's literally impossible, isn't it? We can only see the world through our own eyes. But as the Holy Spirit illuminates our heart, we learn to identify with others. We learn to appreciate others. We learn to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And we learn that to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and strength then turns us to love others as we love ourselves. So fear and fullness not only bring to us a sense of joy and ecstasy as the Spirit works within us, the coming of the Spirit tends to turn us outward also so we can rightly relate to other people. Now that brings us to submission. And remember, friends, this is mutual submission. It's a very important word in the New Testament. The Greek word is hupotasso. It occurs, as you see, some 38 times in the New Testament. And in the passive, it means to submit oneself. Now, the word itself is a compound word, and it can be broken down, as I've demonstrated on your notes. Hupo is a preposition meaning usually under. And then tasso means to arrange. So God has so structured His universe and the relationships of human persons in His universe that we are placed under certain individuals in certain circumstances by the decree, as it were, of Almighty God. So what we're talking about is not a hypothetical ethical theory here. What we're talking about is not something unique, say, to Western culture. What we're talking about is something intrinsic to human nature and the way God has ordained that we relate to each other. Now, certainly God ordains that we be leaders, and every one of us is a leader in some capacity, or more likely in varying roles. But there are also times when we must not only be the leaders, we must be the led. And those who can be led can be more effective leaders. So hupotasso means to look at the divine structure of relationships as outlined for us in the Bible. Now, something that's enormously helpful to me is to note that submission is first of all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like you, and I'm sure we all being human beings are cut pretty much from the same bolt of cloth, I just don't like to submit. It runs against the grain for me. And I guess coming from somewhat difficult circumstances and having to, by God's grace, of course, pull myself up by my own bootstraps, I just don't like to be told what to do. Now, let's have a little testimony meeting. How many of you like to be told what to do? Funny thing, I don't see any hands. You know, it's the human condition, isn't it? We simply don't like to be told what to do. But let me ask this question. If the Lord Jesus were to stand here before us tonight and give us some marching orders, how many of you would follow? Yes, we all would, wouldn't we? Because we know Jesus is perfect. Jesus loves us. He's never going to tell us to do anything but what is good for us. So we willingly bow the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, those of us who've accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We are happy to submit to Him. Now, friends, I would suggest that this is the key to our submission as believers. Submitting first to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, the Lord Himself gave us a wonderful example of submission. Though He was God in the flesh, Luke tells us in chapter 2, verse 51, that after being lost from His parents in the temple in Jerusalem and having that great theological discussion with the religious leaders of the nation, His parents finally caught up with Him and castigated Him just a bit for getting Himself lost and not being where He was supposed to be. But Luke says, then He went down to Nazareth and He was obedient to them. Now, that's Jesus Christ. We also discovered that at the end of the age, when our Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, reconciles and subjugates the whole created order, Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 15:28. When He has done this, that is, when He has reconciled and subjugated the whole created order, spirit realm as well as the physical realm, when He has done this, then the Son Himself will be made subject to Him. You see, Jesus is the perfect example of what submission is all about. And if Jesus can submit, then you and I, following His example, ourselves can also submit. Now, let's point out that submission is often necessary in human relationships. Now, we are not great believers necessarily in hierarchical relationships where we have one person up here, one person here, another person here, and then all us peons down below who are being exploited and manipulated by those above. We don't relate very well to that structure, even though we have some of it obviously in our culture and in our political and civil order. But what we must come to terms with is that there are times when relationships are hierarchical and there are persons who are telling us what to do. And in the providence of God, we have to learn to take orders. Now, I have never been in the military, but my understanding is that when the commanding officer speaks, the soldier salutes and says, "Yes, sir," and goes off to do what he's been told to do. There are certainly times when you and I must understand that it is our role in this particular situation to submit. And sometimes that's true, even though we may ideally not like to do that. I've had the privilege of being a dean for 20 years or so in two Assemblies of God institutions. The deans, as some of my colleagues sitting in this sanctuary know very well, the dean is in that middle zone out between the president on the one hand and the faculty and the student body on the other. And sometimes he's in a position where he is popular, or she is in a position where she is popular, neither with the president on the one hand nor with the faculty and the student on the other. I don't want to be in any way gross or indifferent, but somebody told me one time that deans are to the faculty as fire plugs are to the dog. So I think there are probably times, friends, when every one of us feels put upon, when we are called upon to do things we don't really want to do, but it becomes necessary on occasion to salute and say, "Yes, sir, I will do that." Now, we also realize that there are times when every one of us might be the one to give the orders. And if we're not careful, we can give those orders in a way that is unfeeling, a way that is exploitative, a way that is manipulative, in a way that is abusive and destructive of individuals. And whenever we are in these leadership roles, we must realize that we don't cease to be Christians simply because we've been given supervisory positions. We don't cease to be believers under the authority of the Word of God just because we have been lifted somehow in the hierarchy. You see, whether we are the president of the nation, the president of the institution, or whether we are the janitor, the person sweeping the floor, we are all under the Word of God, which says, being filled with the Spirit, we are to be submissive to one another in the fear of God. There is an ethical imperative. There is a spiritual imperative. And more importantly, there is a spiritual event going on in our lives. You see, friends, if we are truly Spirit-filled, if the Spirit has come down to irradiate our lives, if the Spirit has come down to sanctify and cleanse our lives, if the Spirit has come down to renew our minds, then under the grace and the power of the living God, we will be not only the kinds of followers we need to be, but we'll be the kind of leaders that we need to be. Submission is mutual submission. One of my favorite little marital events that my class has heard me talk about on occasion came a number of years ago. I had been meeting with a friend some distance from the church we were serving in North Atlanta. And after lunch with the friend, I went out to find the battery on my car dead, and my car wouldn't start. Louise was at home and not very far away, so I called her and asked that she come pick me up. Well, actually, I'd caught a ride up to the church office, and I asked that she come to the church and pick me up and take me down, and we'd take the cables and jump my car and get it going. And she did that. So she came to the church office, picked me up, and she's driving me down the road to get my car. I'll never forget it, one of those really cute moments. Louise is driving along, and there's a considerable gap between her and the car in front of her. Well, I'm in a bit of a hurry. I said, "Love, move it up, move it up, move it up." Have you ladies ever experienced that? And I never will forget the aplomb and the grace with which Louise handled that situation. She turned around and turned those big blue eyes on me and said, "Will you please shut up?" You know, and I couldn't help but sit there and laugh because I knew she had me. I was out of order, and that was not the moment when she was going to be mutually submissive to an inappropriate order, so she put me in my place. Now, friends, this business about submission is not intended to destroy one's spirit. It's not intended to preempt one's right and responsibility for decision. It is intended to lubricate and nurture persons in relationships so that we can live together in harmony. Remember, Jesus used this wonderful image of the church related to him. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. What happens? The sap, you know, flows up through the vine and into the branches. They're nourished and connected. I'm often fascinated with automobile engines, and I've often thought about the internal combustion engine. You know, that internal combustion engine is a wonderful machine, isn't it? It's very finely machined, very precisely machined, and I think particularly of the pistons that move up and down and give us the power as that gasoline explodes on the top of the piston, and I think of the way those valves open and close. So at one point, the piston is up, and the next point is driven downward. Then it goes up, and then it goes down. There has to be a reciprocation. That engine has a reciprocating crankshaft, and those parts move in a way so that one moment they're dominant, the next moment they're submissive. One moment there's an explosion, and they're driving downward. The next moment they're moving upward and venting. And if those valves don't move in subordinate ways to what's happening in the cylinder, that engine's going to freeze up. So what is going on with us as Spirit-filled people is that God pours His Spirit into our lives, and that Spirit lubricates and nurtures us in our relationships as we rub against each other. How many of you have discovered there is friction from time to time in relationships? Well, you see, just as that oil pump in that automobile engine feeds oil to those friction points and allows that engine to work without freezing up, the Holy Spirit pours grace and power and wisdom and understanding into our lives so that we don't bite each other and devour each other and wound each other and bruise each other. So as the Spirit comes in, we recognize that our friends are likewise loved by God. Our friends are likewise filled with the Spirit of God. And there are times when we can give the marching orders, but there are times when they must give the marching orders. Now, I've never felt that I'm a perfect example of anything. Now, undoubtedly, some of you may feel that you are, but I don't. And I will never say that the way I did it was the only way it could be done. But one of the things I tried to do as a pastor and tried to do as an educator was to say to my colleagues, if you ever see me doing anything that isn't right, please come and tell me. And if you are speaking the word of God to me truly and correctly, I will do my dead level best to change. And my assumption was that even that individual who might only be able to sweep the floor of the building had the right to speak to me the word of God. And it became my responsibility to submit to that word. You see, first of all, we are submitted to Christ. First of all, we are listening to the word of Christ. First of all, we are responsible to obey the word of Christ. And that means we relate to all other people on the basis of the word of Christ. To love God and to be filled with the Spirit of God is to love other people, to wish the best for them, to treat them in the best possible way. Now, it doesn't mean that justice and demands don't have a place. But we must treat people with the love and the respect that we ourselves desire. Now that points out to us, I think, very clearly, that as we are filled with the Spirit of God and as we respectfully submit to one another, we are then involved in transforming relationships. You know, all through the New Testament, the emphasis on the people of God is to demonstrate that we are, in fact, a dynamic church. The church is a Spirit-filled church. The church is created by the Spirit. The church is led by the Spirit. The church is energized by the Spirit. The church is sanctified by the Spirit. So this is just not an assembly of fellow human beings. It's not simply a voluntary community. It may be that, but it's more than that. We are brought together by the Spirit of God who baptizes us into one body. And in this body, we learn what it is to be mutually submissive to one another. That means, friends, that there is and must be loving, relational give and take. At one time, I may have the privilege of speaking. At another time, I will have the privilege of listening. At one time, it may be my wisdom which is in order. At another time, it may be your wisdom which is in order. At one time, I may understand a word of God with clarity. Another time, you may understand the word of God with clarity. The church needs my gifts. It needs your gifts. So we work together in a wonderfully loving, responsible give and take, realizing that as Spirit-filled people, we not only receive from the Spirit and receive from the church, we also give to the church and share our experience of the Spirit abroad. In reality, what we're all doing, both individually and corporately, or what we are supposed to be doing, is to incarnate the Christ model. Well, we could find a number of passages, perhaps, that would show us very tersely what the Christ model is. But I think none is better than Mark 10:45, which is paralleled, of course, very nicely in Matthew. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? To serve. And to do what? To give his life a ransom for many." Now, that's the Christ model. And you see, as the Holy Spirit fills our life, He is transforming us increasingly into the image of Jesus Christ. He is desirous of capturing more and more and more of that unconquered territory in our lives, so that the church of the living God can be established in majesty, in power, in glory, and complete its mission to demonstrate not only in word, but also in presence and in deed what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So it will never be enough for us to look at some time in the ancient past when we were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Remember, to be filled with the Spirit must be cast in the present tense. We continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. And as Spirit-filled people, we're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We're giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are submitting one to another in the fear of God. Martin Luther said something very powerful. He wrote on Christian freedom some words that I've never forgotten that still ring in my life from time to time. A Christian man, or we could say a Christian woman, a Christian man is the most free Lord of all and subject to none. Isn't that a marvelous truth? And how powerful that truth is. And how it properly resonates in our lives. We have been freed from bondage to human beings. We're not to fear those who can kill the body or the soul. We fear only the living God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. But notice the other part of what Luther said. It's not only that we are most free Lord of all and subject to none. Here's the other side. A Christian man, or a Christian woman, is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. Oh, yes, we rejoice in being filled with the Spirit and speaking with other tongues. We certainly rejoice, I think, in communicating with one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How wonderful the ecstasy, if I can use that word a little bit loosely, that has us singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. I think we can even accept that we need to be giving thanks for all things, always, in the name of our Lord Jesus. But submission? You got to be kidding? No, friends. Paul isn't kidding. The Lord Jesus isn't kidding. When we are truly Spirit-filled, we will not only know what it is to give instructions, but we will also understand what it is to take instructions. We are first subject to our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us such a wonderful example. And then we are properly subject to others around us as they truly speak the Word of God into our hearts. Now, our worship leaders are coming. And what I want to do, I think we have time this evening. I don't believe the snowstorm is closing in. However, if you feel that you need to go to be safe, we're going to allow you to be dismissed in just a moment. But we want to do what we have done in these other services. If you're desirous of being filled with the Spirit of God, we'd invite you to gather with our prayer leaders over by the altar. If you want to be prayed for illness or weakness or any condition, we invite you to come down to the altar, and members of the pastoral team will meet you here, and we'll pray for divine healing or a miraculous ministry of God in whatever your areas of need are. But then I want to invite every one of us to find a special place where we can commune with the Lord tonight. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us anew and say, Lord, we're ready not only to speak in tongues, we are ready to act like Spirit-filled people in every dimension of our lives. Let's stand together, shall we? And if you must go, please feel free to slip out or to visit quietly in the foyer. But now, would we just find our way to the front or to a comfortable place in the sanctuary, kneel or stand, whatever posture you'd like. But let's reach out to God and invite Him to come down and transform our lives anew and give us this wonderful energy that makes us the people we need to be.